My prayer, dear brother and sister, tonight is this, that if there is an object before our hearts that would divert its flow, if there is a hope before our hearts that would defer His coming, that from whatever it may be, tonight we might be set free to follow, to serve, and to wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask His help and blessing. Our God and our Father, we lift up our hearts to You this evening and thank You for this time together. Oh, Father, for all Your love to us through the Lord Jesus and for Your word that You've given us. Father, we love You and we love our Lord Jesus Christ, Your dear Son. We thank You for Him. We thank You for what He means to us. We thank You for the place that is now His at Your right hand. And Father, we pray tonight that by Your Spirit our hearts might be lifted to where He is, that we might be so filled with thoughts of Him, of His excellence, of the place that is now His, that we might be so motivated to focus all of our thoughts and our hearts and our energies, our abilities, upon Him and His interests. Oh, Lord Jesus, where there is a hindrance in our hearts tonight, we pray that we might be set free. Lord Jesus, to follow and to serve and to wait for You. Lord Jesus, we need Your help tonight. We just ask that Your voice might be heard in each of our hearts by Your Spirit. And we ask it for Your own honor and glory and exaltation in Your worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, dear brother and sister, tonight I want more than anything else to set before you the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You know, with the events of our world in the last month or two, it has been incredible, hasn't it? As we look and watch Eastern Europe and we see some of the changes that have taken place there just in the last few weeks, it has been staggering. We have seen changes in governments, changes in nations. We have seen the governments, communist dictator governments, overthrown by uprisings of the people. We have seen, I understand just in the last 24 hours or so, the communist leader of Romania and his wife were executed, someone told me. The events are moving fast. We see the Berlin Wall being torn down and the border opened up between East and Western Germany. We've seen things that I have to confess I didn't expect to see quite so fast. I didn't expect to see these things happening in such rapid succession. And yet, here we are at the end of 1989. We are on the threshold of the decade that precedes the next millennium. Think about that. On the threshold of the decade that precedes the next millennium. And this is the time when you and I live. And you live at a time like this with energy, with all the energy and the drive of youth. And you see a world that is changing fast. Things are moving, things are spinning, and events are starting to change faster and faster and faster. And we're starting to see everything fit in place for the final act when the Lord Jesus will return. And when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. We're seeing things in motion, preparing for man's last stand against God. You and I can enjoy this fact that over all of this, that over all the changes, over all the transitions, all the turmoil that we see in this world, and over all of the moral darkness and the depravity and the spiritual wickedness and the forces of Satan as they move into this country of ours, over it all, there sits tonight at the right hand of God a man who is over it all and above it all, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's somebody I know. And it's somebody that I know is known to many of you here tonight. And in this I rejoice. In this I rejoice. I have a living personal relationship with a man who is over it all, the Lord Jesus. A real man. A man who was here in this world, who was the eternal Son of God and who still is, who took a real human body and lived in this world a real life, who died on a real cross, who suffered real agony and was buried in a real grave. He was raised from the dead in a real body, and as a real man, he has ascended through the heavens to the right hand of the throne of the majesty of God in the heavens. And I am associated with that man. Isn't that an awesome thought? And so are you, if you belong to Jesus Christ. Wow. I'd like you to look at Ephesians 1 with me, please. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1, verse 17. These words are the words of the Apostle Paul as he prayed for those at Ephesus, those believers in this gathering in Ephesus. And this is what he prayed: that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, let's not think tonight about anything else, nothing other than this. That tonight, as you and I sit here, there is a man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead by this awesome power and has been raised into heaven far above, not just above, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, throughout the eternal future. This man, our Lord Jesus Christ, has been raised to the highest pinnacle of God's glory. There he sits tonight, a living, personal Lord and Savior. There he sits, the head over all things to the church, the one who fills everything in every way. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that Paul met on the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus, a religious zealot, a man who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a man who had all the religious background that he needed for all the pride of his day. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, as touching the law, blameless concerning zeal, persecuting the church, top that. This man had it all. But one day, this one who was seated at the right hand of God, this one who is the head over all things to his church, who had formed his church on earth, who had formed a people on earth for himself, this man who was far above every power and dominion of the universe, this man at the right hand of God, one day spoke to this man, Saul of Tarsus. He said, "Saul, Saul." And Saul of Tarsus had a personal encounter with this man at the right hand of God. Young man, young lady, tonight I ask you, have you been contacted by this man that sits above every power in the universe, who sits at the right hand of God, who fills everything in every way? Has this man contacted you? If he has, have you listened? Have you responded? If you're here today and you do not know this man, our hearts go out to you. And we pray, God, that this week you might hear the voice of the Son of God and that you might live. That you might hear the voice of this man that sits at the right hand of God. That you might hear him call your name at Barakel tonight. And that you too might be brought into a living personal relationship with him, the one who fills everything in every way, and the one who alone can fill your heart. Yes, Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul after he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. What was the result? What happened? What happened as a result in the heart and the mind of this man? Well, let's read in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here he recounts his reaction. What happened? Well, from about verses 4 through 6, he talks about the things that he might have bragged about that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. And then in verse 7, now, having been contacted by this man from the glory at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of God in the heavens, and having seen him there, and having been brought into a relationship with him through faith in that one, he says, now, verse 7, the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, I love this. Paul now says, look, the result is this, that the things that were gained to me, the things that I once counted as credits for me, Paul, in my life, he said, now, forget it. Forget it. I set those all aside. He said, I count them lost. He said, I put all those on the debit side of the ledger because they are nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Compared to the excellency, the surpassing greatness, he says, of knowing Jesus Christ. Compared to that, he said, I consider everything else rubbish. I consider it all trash. Compared to that. Oh, dear brother, dear sister, young man, young lady, we love you, and we want this week more than anything else, for you to come to understand that there is a surpassing greatness to anything else that this world can offer. And it is the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about a thrill I had recently. We went to see a performance by some actors in an outdoor theater. I think it's called an outdoor drama or something like that. It's called Tecumseh, and it's put on down in southern Ohio. And it's about the Indian leader who was trying to unite all the tribes in the Ohio Valley and in Michigan and so on, to try to turn back the white men. And many have felt that had Tecumseh been successful, it would have really changed the course of history completely in the United States in the settlement of the country. But Tecumseh failed. But nonetheless, the setting was spectacular. An outdoor setting where you could sit in bleachers and watch while there was a stream ahead of you. There was the moon rising in the night sky across the way behind the creek. Trees, horses, trails, rocks, cliffs, caves. It was a spectacular sight. And it was really a fascinating performance. But you know, as I watched, and as I saw recounted some of what had gone on in the history of the settlement of this country, and I saw God's creation so beautifully arranged like that, and I stood there in the middle of these bleachers with, I don't know, probably 1,000 people there filling this place, deep steps and seats right down to the front. I stood there near the back in the middle. And I don't know what it was, but I got one of the greatest thrills that I've had in a long time. My heart was filled with joy to the point of bursting. I wanted to shout, because what just filled me at that moment was the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. I tell you, to be able to stand there and to say, this guy standing here, a nobody in one sense, has a personal relationship with the God of the universe who made all this. I know him. I talk to him. He works in my life. And by his grace, I now know that he loves me and that I am significant to him. And he's got things he's doing in my life. He's at work. And I know the God of the universe. Oh, it was a thrill to me. Why it hit me right then, I don't know. It hits me at different times as God just seems to bring the realization of these things to bear in our hearts. But I want to just say to you tonight that I long for you, if you don't know the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, I pray that here at Barakel you'll come to know. And I know the staff at Barakel, that is their prayer as well. That if you don't know Jesus Christ, that this week you will meet him. That you will hear his voice, because I have no doubt at all that he will speak to you this week. Because he loves you and he desires to give you all that can fill your heart forever. He's knocking and he wants into your heart and he wants into your life. Calling you by name. Now, Paul says, look, when I compare everything that I once valued to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, to knowing him, trash it all, man, trash it all. Nothing else compares. Now, what does he go on to say? In verse 10, he says, that I may know him. That I may know him. I thought we just read of the surpassing greatness of knowing him. Yes. But now Paul says, but I want to go on. I want to know him. You know, and I find an echo to this in my own heart. Dear young brother and sister tonight, I know there is a surpassing greatness in knowing Jesus Christ, but I want to know Him. I know there's more of Jesus that I don't know. I know there's more of His person. I know there's more of His love. There's more of His heart. There's more of His ways. And I want to know Him. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. And that's what I want for you. That's what the Apostle Paul would want for you and for me. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. To know Him. Oh, this man at the right hand of God, above every earthly power, every power in the universe, this man who fills everything in every way, I want to know Him better. One of the ways that I will come to know Him better is through the pages of His living Word. This book speaks to me. This book challenges me. This book brings before me the Lord Jesus. And as I read it, and as I read of His life, as I trace His steps, as I try to enter into the thoughts and the feelings of the heart of God as I read through this book, I come to know Him a little better. A little better. Day in and day out. As I try to obey, to carry out His Word as He brings it before me in my life, I find that the Lord Jesus is there, that He's working with me and for me and walking alongside me. And I can get to know Him a little better day in and day out, enjoying the conscious realization of His presence. And it is fantastic that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. Paul says, that power that took that man out of that tomb, raised him out of that tomb. You know, that power raised him from the dead before the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Think about that. The stone rolled away revealed the empty tomb. Paul says the power that raised that man from the dead, I want to know that kind of power in my life. I want to know that kind of power. Dear brother and sister, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that is available in your life and mine through the Holy Spirit of God, as we yield ourselves to Him in obedience to Him and His Word. There is power available for your life and mine. Are you and I availing ourselves of that power? What about prayer? How's your prayer life? Prayer is a tremendous resource that God has given us. It is through prayer that the power of God is drawn down into the life of the believer. It is in response to the prayers of God's people that God works in this world. I think it's beautiful, you know, with Epaphras. Let's look at that. The Colossians, I guess it is, 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice this. He says in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. Prayer. Epaphras is presented here, the Apostle Paul calls Epaphras a servant of Christ. What was his work? His work was prayer. And he wrestled continually in prayer for God's people, that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And he is a servant praying that the power of God, that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ might be put to work in the life of God's dear people. Dear brother and sister, let us pray for one another. Let us labor and be servants of Christ in this area. It will change things. A sister was telling me at supper tonight, I was so encouraged by it. She told me of how she and another young sister in the gathering in her area said to each other a while ago, we are going to pray. We are going to start praying about the needs here that we see. You know, now they have to get on the phone. They have to talk on a regular basis. You know what for? You know, answers to prayer. She said, I had to call my friend the other night to tell her God had answered one more. Laboring fervently, wrestling for God's people. And God was working in response to those prayers. Let us join Epaphras as a servant of Christ in this area and pray for one another that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ might work in our hearts and lives. That God's people might experience that power and that we might be motivated from our hearts to serve Him, to follow Him undistracted until He comes for us. Well, let's look back at Philippians 3 again. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Paul says, now I want to know the fellowship of His suffering. Paul is so taken up with this man at the right hand of God that he wants to know Him, that he wants to experience in his life the power that raised him from the dead, that he wants to be so much like Him that he wants to share in the fellowship of the sufferings of that man. Dear brother and sister, do we feel, do we share in the fellowship of His suffering? Oh, as it relates to His atoning sufferings for sin, we cannot have fellowship in that. That is an awesome work that He completed alone. And He alone deserves all the praise and all the honor for that great work. For you and I, though, we have the privilege of coming to share in the fellowship of His suffering as He lived out His life. Perhaps you have shared in some of those sufferings, and perhaps you can even now as it relates to others. The suffering of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ, as He yearns over His people, as He looks and His heart bleeds for His people, as He sees their pain, as He sees their hurt, to share in the thoughts and the feelings, the sensitivity of His heart for His own. Perhaps you have shared in the fellowship of His suffering, in that you have been falsely accused, maybe misunderstood, maybe victimized. The fellowship of His suffering. Paul said, I want to know that. And he said, being made conformable unto His death. Conformable unto His death. The Lord Jesus, in selfless obedience to His Father, laid down His life. Dear brother and sister, to what extent are we willing to know Him? To what extent are we willing to follow Him? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus calls out to you and to me tonight, and He wants us to come after Him in obedience wherever it may lead. Wherever it may lead. Conformable unto His death. Death to ourselves. Death to our own self-centered desires and ambitions and goals and all of that. Paul says rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Being made conformable unto His death. God calls us to follow Him in unswerving obedience and yieldedness. Because, dear brother and sister, He is the man at the right hand of God. He is the one whose we are and whom we serve. And He is the one to whom we go. Well, in Philippians 1, just go back in the first chapter in verse 21, or verse 20. You'll notice Paul, what's he say here? So filled with this man at the right hand of God, he says in verse 20, my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul's overwhelming desire was this, that Christ might be magnified in the body of the Apostle Paul, whether it was by life or whether it was by death. Dear brother and sister, you and I are called to participate in the display, the eternal display of the excellence of Jesus Christ. I want to contribute in this world to the display of the excellence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want it to be so in my life. And dear brother and sister, I want it for you. Yes, I want to say that again. You and I have been called to participate in the eternal display of the excellence of Jesus Christ. God's desire is that He might be magnified in your body, whether by life or whether by death. There is no higher calling. Turn now, please, to Philippians 3 again, and let's go down to verse 12. Verse 12, he says, I want to read these few verses in the NIV. I just think it's so much clearer. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul says, look, I'm not telling you I've done all this yet. No. But he says, I want to press on. I'm pressing on now. I want to take a hold of what Christ Jesus took a hold of me for. Do you know Jesus Christ tonight? He has taken a hold of you. Do you know why He has taken a hold of you? Paul says, I want to know. I want to know. Christ Jesus got a hold of me. He got a hold of my life. And I'm pressing on because I want to get a hold of why. And he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that. He says, I strain on toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And God has called you in His direction. God has called you heavenward. And He's called me there. Are you straining in that direction? Are you straining in that direction to follow Him? To get a hold of why He has got a hold of you? Oh, don't you, can't you just feel the Apostle Paul? Now he says, verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And then he says in verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Oh, dear brother and sister, what you know of God's Word, don't let it slip. Don't go backwards. Don't turn away from what you know to be His truth. But walk in what you know now and press on and go on. And then he says in verse 18, I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Oh, there are enemies out there, and there are enemies that are arrayed against you and me. But their end is destruction. That's their end. What's the end for you and me? What's the end for you and me? He says, but our citizenship, in verse 20, is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This man who is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. We eagerly wait that Savior to come, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly body so that they will be like His glory. We are waiting for that Savior from there. He is coming, and He is coming soon, very soon. In the meantime, dear brother and sister, we got to go flat out for Him. He has called us after Him. From now on, let it be in your life and mine, pedal to the metal, in total devotion to this one who sits at the right hand of God, drawn there. Hold there, heavenward, heavenward. We are heaven bound. What do we do? What are we to do? Well, we're to reach out in love to those around us, to share this one who has so captured our hearts and our affections. We must live out our lives before Him. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians that if I yet please men, I am not the servant of God. We have got to be focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. We have got to live with His obedience to Him paramount before our thoughts and hearts. We must seek His approval. We labor. We labor. We press on. That as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. Oh, dear brother and sister, you and I, called heavenward by this glorified man, we seek to follow His steps as we follow Him there, and we do so, desiring His approval in every aspect of our life. For He is worthy. He is worthy. Well, we are going to see Him soon. Dear brother and sister, we are going to see Him soon. I don't know what it's going to be like. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When you and I see this man who comes from the right hand of God, who comes Himself to take us to be with Himself, and you and I, one on one, we look. When we see Him, oh dear brother and sister, we are going to melt before Him. We are going to melt. We're just going to say, oh Lord. We're going to be speechless. I don't know. But I really believe that one glimpse of His face, dear brother and sister, is going to draw from our torn hearts here a cry of, oh Lord, if I had only known. If I had only known. How much you suffer, and what an awesome person you really are. I would have devoted myself wholly to you. Dear brother and sister, I challenge you tonight as I challenge my own heart. Let us live in full devotion to Him. nothing else matters, and fully devoted to Jesus Christ our Lord, we will enter the glory with no regret. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, just bless these words to our hearts tonight. Lord Jesus, when we think of who you are and where you are and what you've done, Lord Jesus, the desire of our hearts is to follow you here and to follow you there. And Lord, we look forward to that day when you will have your rightful place and be honored. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to being a part of the eternal display of your excellence. We give you our thanks tonight. Thank you. 85. For 27 from up here, and so I'm gonna make them sing the first two verses to you, and then you guys come in on the last three.